have your Bibles tonight. If you would, take your Bible and turn. 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. Notice, if you would, in the outline. Now, I'm going to read the first verse, if you would. This is 1 Kings chapter 2. And folks, there's a couple of really important lessons tonight that we can all learn. And I just challenge you. Notice, if you would, number one, in verse number one, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. Now, unless he comes back to get us, we're all going to come to this day. Okay? Some of us are a little closer than others. But we don't know that. You know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bring forth. I remember playing ball at about probably 16, 17 years old, and we're out playing basketball, and all of a sudden I go in to get a drink or did something, came back out, and the 911 is there, the emergency room, the emergency truck is there, and I looked out, and they're trying to revive, and a 16, 17 year old kid died of a heart attack right there playing. It looked like he just keeled over. I remember Hank Gathers, great basketball player. He's playing basketball, college basketball, great player, and all of a sudden just died. Now, I'm just saying to you, we don't know what our future is, but every one of us, we're going to come to this day. And notice, if you would, he said, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Son, I want you to be strong like a man. I want you to do the right things. And notice, if you would, Roman number one in the outline, David desperately wanted his son to do right before God. Now, you understand, if you would, read in verse 3, he says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. The Lord said, look, I want you to follow me. I want you to obey me. I want you to do the things that I've asked you to do so I can bless you. David wanted his family blessed. He wanted the Lord to be able to pour his blessing upon David's family. And so David is ready to die. He's not going to be able to do any more. So he brings in Solomon, his son, who's now king. And notice, if you would, he gives him a charge. And notice this. In the outline, he wanted Solomon to obey the Lord in everything. Everything. And you'll notice, if you would, it says, verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me. Now watch what the promise was of the Lord. There's some 7,000, between 7,400 and 7,700 promises in the Bible. Here's one of them. Notice, if you would, to David. If thy children take heed to their way. Now, this is for all of us in this room. Children, if you take heed to your way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. They said, look, I promise to always bless your family, that you can sit on the throne if you'll just do what's right with a right heart. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, B, David greatly desired his children to do what was right so the kingdom could be blessed by God. You see, God gives us promises and then blessings. Promises and blessings. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Folks, I'll not pour out the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. So he makes a challenge to us, and then he makes a promise to us. And he said, look, if you'll just do this, I'll do this. And God always keeps his promises. And so you and I in this room have to learn that. And parents, we have to learn that firsthand so we can teach it to our children secondhand until they're able to experience it firsthand themselves. And then, you know, tomorrow, Matt and Savannah will be going to Uganda for their survey trip. You pray for them. But I remember when Matt was, you know, born here, you know, a little kid and growing up. You don't think that he's going to grow up and the Lord's going to call him to the mission field. And he's going to get so lucky and marry a good girl and, you know, marry above his head, you know. I mean, why that happens sometimes. And then the Lord calls him to the mission field. And all I'm saying is don't you know that Drew and Wanda, that's what they want their children to just do what's right. I mean, would you just do what's right? And that's David. I want the blessing of God upon your life. So tonight, you'll notice, if you would, I want you to see in the outline, David prayed for his son to have a perfect heart before God. Now, I want you to take note, if you would. Take your Bible and turn to First Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. I want you to see this verse. It's one that you can underline. I've underlined it, and I think it's a challenge for all of us. Notice, if you would. I'm going to just start with verse 56 and kind of skip down through it. I want you to see it's all relevant. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel. Now, you know, Solomon is speaking now. And he said, according to all that he promised. So he said, look, God's kept his promises. Now, here's Solomon, King David's son, that has realized there's a God in heaven that does keep his promises. So he's beginning to trust the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 56. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 60, that all the people of the earth may know that that the Lord is God and there is none else. One of the reasons we want to do what's right, one of the reasons we want to have good testimony, is so that all the world knows that our God's worth serving. Everybody in this room, that's our goal. Look, folks, if you don't serve the Lord to honor the Lord in the eyes of other people, you've got the wrong motive. It's not just, hey, I want to serve the Lord to be blessed. I want to serve the Lord so that all the world may know that he's a great God. And God says, look, I'll bless you for that. Whenever Solomon said, the Lord said to Solomon, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. And Solomon thought about it and said, look, I need wisdom so I can manage the kingdom well and be a good leader. And God said, I am so glad you said that. He said, by the way, I'm going to give you riches and wealth untold. I'm going to give you the wisdom you asked for. I'm going to bless you with everything you didn't ask for. That's the God of heaven. So we want to teach our children, look, young people, learn to trust the Lord. But it's got to come from us as parents first. It's got to be from the adults first. It's got to trickle down that we talk about the goodness of the Lord. And so now Solomon is talking about the goodness of David's God. So notice, if you would, in verse number 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Verse 61, like this verse, you want to underline it. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord, our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as at this day. Like you are right now. In other words, today, I want you to be right with the Lord. And look, I want you to follow him. I want you to do what's right. But I want you to have a perfect heart. Now, a perfect heart is not a heart that's never sinned. Because nobody in this room could ever have a perfect heart if that were the case. Because we're all sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But we can have a perfect heart. And a perfect heart is whenever we see things like Shimei, Peter said, Lord, I got a temper problem. Would you help me fix it? Lord, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? Then at that moment, he can have a perfect heart. Because he says, I don't ever want to let my heart, my temper get away again. Lord, would you forgive me? And yet Shimei never did that. So he didn't have a perfect heart. Now, notice with me, if you would, in verse number 61, let your heart, therefore, be perfect before the Lord. So it's a heart that says, Lord, I want to be right before you. It's a direct correlation between you and the God of heaven. And everybody in this room needs a perfect heart. David wanted his son to have a perfect heart because he knew there was a blessing of God on every person that strives for a perfect heart. And now Solomon's figured that out. And he says, look, I want all of you people looking at all of his kingdom. I want you to have a perfect heart. I want you to get rid of sin. I don't want you to worship false gods. I want you to put the Lord first. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, I want you to see in the outline, David prayed for his son to have a perfect heart before God. Solomon even prayed for Israel to have a perfect heart. Now, look, if you would, in 1 Kings chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 17. And I want you to see this. 1 Chronicles 29, 17. Now, you'll notice David is speaking here. 1 Chronicles is a companion book to 1 Kings, and you learn things about each one of the characters, the people in Scripture from a different angle. Well, notice in verse 17, this is David speaking. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. Now, Hebrew word here, triest, is to examine. It is to test. It is to scrutinize. It's to investigate. Now read it. Notice, I know, my God, that thou triest. You investigate the heart. Lord, I know that you scrutinize the heart to find sin, to find righteousness. Notice this, and has pleasure in uprightness. Now, notice in your outline, C1, God tries every heart. So if you're here tonight, the Lord's going to try your heart. He's going to see what's in your heart. He wants it to be perfect. That's not sinless. It's all sin confessed. Nothing between you and the Lord like Shimei. Shimei had temper between him and the Lord and bitterness between him and David's family. And so he never had a perfect heart. And he died for it later on. Now, notice if you would, too, in the outline, C2, God is looking for uprightness in the heart. Now, Hebrew word for uprightness is that word. It's a great word. It is perfectly perpendicular. In other words, we've talked about this before. If you've got a door that's a degree off, it'll drag on the carpet. If you've got a door that's a degree off, it may clip, hit on the top of the door frame. It just doesn't shut right. It doesn't take much. And so many times building a house, I've noticed a carpenter take a 4-foot level and put it up on that door frame to make sure it's exactly right. Well, uprightness is whenever you're exactly perpendicular, straight between you and the Lord. If there's a little bit of sin, you're tilting a little bit, you're going to drag. You're going to cause problems. You can't pray effectively. So notice he says, I'm trying the heart because I'm looking for uprightness. I take pleasure in uprightness. Pleasure. I take joy. I take encouragement. It thrills my heart to see uprightness in your heart. Now notice, and another thing he says, or a heart in the outline that has integrity. Now, notice with me if you would, in verse 17, as for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. So David took up an offering for the new temple. And David said, I gave willingly, I gave joyfully. And so it was a thrill to me to be able to give to the Lord. And he said, so I gave uprightly. I gave because I wanted everything to be right between the Lord and I gave what I ought to. And everybody in this room, if you give, if you sing, if you preach, if you teach, we always should say, Lord, I want my heart to be upright. I want it to be where everything is exactly according to what you want. Everybody in this room controls that. I don't control it for you. Nobody can make you be out of alignment. They can put pressure on us. How many have ever grabbed a hold of a door and sort of rolled it around a little bit? You know what I'm saying? You grab a hold of the door and it kind of goes around some. Well, you can put pressure on a door and pull those screws to where it'll start sagging. But a Christian that's walking with the Lord, you can't do that. They're going to do what's right no matter the pressure. Upright. Now, integrity. Notice the outline, two, or a heart that has integrity. Integrity is something you're true to your convictions. I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. So your integrity, you work to always tell the truth. The rule that's in your heart. If you're working on being gracious to people, let your words be always with grace. So I've got this desire to be able to learn to speak with kindness and sweetness. So you're going to try to work to where your actions match your conviction. Your action match what you've promised the Lord, what you want the Lord to help you with, what you want to be like. So if you're a procrastinator and you say, I want to get rid of that procrastination, and here's my conviction, I don't want to put things off, then the closer you get to doing things that you ought to do on the time you should do them is integrity. Now, folks, many people take their integrity and set it aside. That'll be all right. They have conviction, but they don't work to match their effort to their conviction. So they lack integrity. Now, when it's morality, whenever it's lying or truthfulness, or it is something that you ought to do, I want to control my temper. Lord, I want my temper to be right before you. And so integrity is whenever you always control that temper, or uprightness, you make it right. So the Lord says, I try hearts to see if you have integrity. I try hearts to see if you're upright, if everything's confessed, if you're working diligently to match your conviction. Now, many people don't have any conviction, so they don't feel any guilt. Now, conviction is something you believe with all your heart that you want to do. Or that's something you believe in. Everybody in this room's got to have some convictions. A conviction might be, I'm going to show up on time at work. Okay? Let me give you a conviction. Okay? I'm going to embarrass the fire out of him. Brother Hersey, back here in the back. You work for the government in North Carolina, right? Okay. How long did you work there? 33 years. Okay. Now, how many days were you late? None. A conviction. I always wanted to be on time. I'm going to work at it to make sure I have integrity. And now, if you ever fail in your integrity, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm going to fix that. Upright. Many people say, it don't matter to me if I'm on time or not. They don't have any conviction. So they can arrive and not feel bad. They cannot do their homework as young people and not feel bad. That's not that important. You got to have a conviction. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to always turn it on time. I'm going to try to do it right. How many of you went to school, college, high school, and you stayed up late to get a paper done so that you could turn it in on time? You just wanted to do that. Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Okay? All right. All over. That's conviction. I got to do it right. Now, maybe your conviction had a little bit of something behind it. I won't make a good grade. But whenever it happens to where you say, it's mine, I want to do that. That's what God is trying hard for. Sooner or later, everybody in this room has got to live by your conviction. He's trying your heart to see if you'll do what is right in your heart for him. And so David is saying, Lord, please give my son a godly heart. That's what he wants. And so tonight, you have to have some conviction. What are some of your convictions? I never want to backtalk my parents. That's conviction. I always want to tell the truth. That's conviction. I always want to be on time wherever I go. That's conviction. I always want to obey those that are over me. That's conviction. Now, uprightness is how close you get to it. I want to always honor that. Now, we're looking to say, God's saying, I'm looking to see if you honor the commands that I've put out and you are matching up with that. He said, so I'm looking for integrity, your convictions, and my convictions. What I've listed down for you, the commandments of Scripture. Will you get close to that uprightness? So now let's go back and read the passage again, verse 17, 1 Chronicles 29. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. You bring joy to the Lord when you match up with what He asked for you to do. So tonight, all of us in this room, let's purpose to be like what David wanted for Solomon. Now, notice if you would, D in the outline, David wanted his son to prosper and be blessed of God. David knew the secret that was having a perfect heart before God. Now, if you take your Bible and turn back to 1 Kings chapter 2. Notice with me if you would. David wanted his son to obey the rules. And notice what he actually lists. Look in this is 1 Kings 2, 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Keep the convictions of the Lord, the laws of the Lord, that which God has written down, to walk in His ways. Now, there's a conviction. I want to walk the way the Lord tells me to walk. Okay, you have to decide that or not. It's what keeps a Christian out of bars. It's what it keeps a young people pure. I got a conviction. I got it from the Lord. I want to bring pleasure to Him. I know He's trying my heart. I always want to be pleasing to Him. I want to bring Him pleasure. Tonight, is that your desire? As a wife, do you want to bring the Lord pleasure? As a husband, do you want to bring your wife pleasure? I just want to be good to her. Because the Lord told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I can't love that much, but I can try. Now, notice if you would, Roman numeral 2. David died after reigning for 40 years. And God allowed Solomon to reign in his stead. God wanted Solomon to have a heart like David, his father. Now, notice with me if you would, in verse number 10. This is 1 Kings 2:10. So David slept with his fathers. David has died, was buried in the city of David, and David reigned over Israel 40 years. So we can see that David had a long and prosperous reign. And then you'll notice in verse 12, then sat Solomon on the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was greatly established. What that means, it's a big thing, because what it means is everybody accepted Solomon as a king. They were happy that Solomon was the king. They supported him as king. And there was peace in the kingdom. There wasn't a lot of turmoil about who should be king, who reigns king. Solomon was established. Okay, now watch. And so there can always be disunity and disharmony. And it only takes one person. And all of us in this room need to learn that lesson. You may have 4 or 5 people in your family, it only takes one person to mess up the unity in the home. Disunity. We all have to work on that. Now, it only takes one person in the church. Well, it only takes one person in a kingdom. And notice, if you would, in verse 13. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. She said, comest thou peaceably? In other words, you're coming to me. Are you coming to me with a right heart? And he said, peaceably. He said, yeah, I don't have an agenda. That was a lie. Now, Adonijah was Solomon's older brother. And Adonijah was going to be king. But David said, no, I want Solomon to be king. Now, David was correct. Solomon was a great king, wise king. And he said, I don't want Adonijah to be king. He's a little selfish. And you can see that in chapter 1. You'll notice notice if you would, chapter 1, first Kings chapter 1, notice if you would in verse 5. And David saw this, and this is why he didn't want Adonijah to be king. Notice verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Okay? Every father, I pray that you look at your children and you don't see, I want to exalt myself. I want to be somebody. I want to do this and I want to do that. In other words, you want people to look up to you. Look, that's pride in its greatest sense. We want to please the Lord and let the Lord lift us up. Psalm 75. He said, the Lord lifteth up, but man putteth down, man putteth up. But God says, I'm the one that lifts people up. Psalm 75. So we learn to do the right things and let God bless us. Tonight, is that what we're doing? At work, are we doing the right things and the Lord's lifting us up? Or are we trying to climb the ladder ourselves? Remember, the way we do things makes all the difference in the integrity of our heart as God tries us. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline. A, God allowed David a long reign because of his desire to do what's right. If you remember in the book of Acts, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Now, David never lost that, but David fell into sin a bunch. But he always came right back to the Lord. So one thing about David was he tried to make it right quickly, usually. And God loved him for that. He had a desire to please the Lord. Now, David became king, and absolute authority corrupts absolutely. So if David is king and he can do anything he wants to do, the flesh many times gets in and, well, I can do this, well, I can do that. And so he had many wives, and God said, don't do that. He could have someone killed if he wanted to, and he did that. And there's no repercussions except from God of heaven. Now, all of us in this room, we want to pray that we never have absolute authority. Because we always want to abdicate our authority to the Lord. And say, Lord, I give my authority to you. I want to obey you. Everybody in this room. Now, notice what in the outline. B, God gave Solomon an established kingdom because he wanted to do right at the beginning. Now, say at the beginning, power corrupted Solomon also. And notice C in the outline, Adonijah was slain after he tried to subtly take back the kingdom. Now, notice with me, if you would, in chapter 1 of 1 Kings, Adonijah says, I want to be king. I'm going to make myself king. So he lifted himself up. And David said, no, I don't want you to be king. I want Solomon to be king. So then he backs down. He said, okay, I'll leave it to Solomon. I'm sorry. I don't want to cause a problem. I don't want to rock the boat in the country. And then after a period of while, things settle down. So now Adonijah gets a very subtle thought. Notice, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 says, I'll go to Bathsheba, who is Solomon's mother, and ask for the wife that was David's, the beautiful one. Notice in verse 16. Now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. She said, say on, what is it you want me to do for you, Adonijah? And he's speaking to Bathsheba. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto the Solomon the king, for he will not say nay unto thee, that he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. He said, I really would like to marry Abishag. Now, Abishag was of David's harem, one of David's wives. Anytime somebody took one of those wives, there was the potential that the kingdom would go with it in this day and age. So anytime you asked for a wife out of the king's harem, you were also asking for a portion of the kingdom. Solomon picked up right on it. His mom didn't. Notice, if you would, 18, and Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. She was flattered that he came to her. And notice in verse 20, so she comes to Solomon. Then she said, I desire one small thing of thee. She thought it was a small thing. It was asking for the kingdom in a subtle way. Now notice what happens. I pray thee, say me not nay. Don't tell me no, son. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say nay unto thee. I will give you what you want. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And notice what King Solomon's response was. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag for a Shunammite for Adonijah? ask for him the kingdom also? For he is my elder brother. Even for him. For Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. These three had gotten together and tried to take over the kingdom in the first place. And so Adonijah is trying to bring about a very subtle revolt by starting with getting Abishag, King David's wife. And so he picks right up on it. And notice what happens in verse number 23. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God, do more so to me and more also, if Adonijah had not spoken this word against his own life. He just messed up. Now he's trying to take over the kingdom. He's going to die for it. And you'll notice in verse 25, he does. Now notice in the outline, see, Adonijah was slain after he tried to subtly take back the kingdom. But notice what also happened. Abiathar, the priest, was removed from the priesthood after he plotted with Adonijah. He was with him. So Solomon, being the wise one that he was, noticed the entire conspiracy. And then notice, if you would, E, Joab was slain for the murders of the past. Now, when you notice, if you would, in chapter 2, notice verse 28. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah. So Joab was in it with Adonijah. They were plotting together to take over the kingdom by getting this one wife. They knew that there would be people that would say, well, you've got King David's wife, so you deserve a part of the kingdom. Maybe we'll split the kingdom for you. So you notice, verse 28, then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. So he was very loyal to David, except for Adonijah. And you'll notice, if you would, verse 29, and it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. So what had happened was Joab's an older man. He goes to the altar and he grabs a hold of the horns of the altar and he's kneeled down there and he says, look, nobody's going to get killed in the temple. So he said, I'm safe here as long as I hang on to the altar. Solomon said, you go take care of him. He's not getting away with it. You go take care of him right where he is. Now notice what happens. In verse number 31, verse 30, then I came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. Hey, come out of the temple. Come out of the tabernacle. He said, nay, but I will die here. I'm not going to move. If you're going to kill me, you're going to have to kill me right here. So Benaiah goes back to Solomon and says, what do I do? In verse 31, and the king said unto him, do as he has said, fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood. Because Joab had killed men on purpose out of bitterness. And payday always comes. Now, very quickly, and I want to close with this. Notice, F. Shimei was slain because his sinful ways were never corrected. Be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers chapter 32:23 is a principle all of us need to learn and say, I'm going to stay away from sin because it always comes back to bite you. Now notice, if you would, in verse 44, 1 Kings 2:44. The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. You know all the things in your heart that you roll around in your heart of things that are wicked that you're wanting to do. And payday's come today for you, Shimei. Now, the story is this. In verse number 36, king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. I want you to build you a house in Jerusalem, and don't you dare go outside the city limits. The second you do, you're a dead man, because I don't trust you. I know what you did to my father David, and you're wicked at heart, and one of these days your wicked heart's going to get you in trouble. Now notice what happens. Verse 37. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, which was a boundary around Jerusalem, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be on thine own head. Now watch this. Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. Hey, I'm good with that. So he builds him a house. He's in Jerusalem. He's good. But he's got this fatal flaw. He's got a violent temper and he never corrects it. And folks, tonight, notice in the outline, one, Shimei had a bitter heart and a violent temper. Notice two, he didn't recognize his temper as evil enough to correct it. He said, look, I'm okay. Yeah, I lose my temper every once in a while, but what's the big deal? Yeah, I lie a little bit, but what's the big deal? Everybody lies. Yeah, I cheat in school a little bit, but everybody cheats. I see it all the time. Folks, the lesson of Shimei is if you don't correct the sin that's in our heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? We have to turn our heart to the Lord and say, Lord, you search me. David had it right. Search me, O God, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in my heart. Every one of us in this room have to get on our knees and say, Lord, you look in my heart, and if you see something, you point it out to me, and I will get rid of it. I'll do my best to memorize Scripture, and I'll do my best to confess it and forsake it. Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be upright. I want to have integrity. It's the principle of every great Christian, uprightness and integrity. And so you'll notice here, he says, okay, I agree to that. Now watch what happens. Verse number 39. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years. So he controls his temper and everything for 3 years. Now I can assure you he didn't control his temper. He just knew better than to go outside the brook Kidron. So you'll notice that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish. So that made him so mad. They can't get away. They can't do that. They're my property. So he gets on his mule and he goes after them, and his violent temper turned off his reason. And that's why the Bible says, with an angry and furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare unto thy soul. So God is trying to protect all of us in this room. Everyone in this room, we have fatal flaws. Unless we say, Lord, forgive me of this thing. Would you help me to remedy it? And folks, tonight, can I challenge you? Don't be a Shimei. Don't accept a sin that's in your heart. Don't accept bitterness. Get rid of it. Don't accept anger. Get rid of it. Don't accept lust. Get rid of it. Don't accept covetousness. Get rid of it. Anything that you think about all the time or frequently will ruin you. Unless you say, Lord, forgive me. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So God expects all of us in this room, there to be no thought in our minds rolling around that's not pleasing to the Lord. Upright. Tonight, do you have any wrong thoughts? Do you have any wrong dreams, wrong desires? You ought to say, Lord, tonight, I want to be upright. Shimei says, okay. He gets mad. He goes after his servants. And notice what happens. In verse number 40, and Shimei rose, saddled his ass, and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. He went and found them, brought them back home. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei. Now, you know, that's payday right here. Payday always comes. I guarantee you, Shimei said, uh-oh, I forgot. Oh, my goodness, I got so mad I forgot. And now he's got to go to the king, and he knows the penalty is death. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 42, in the middle of the verse, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested in thee, saying, know for certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhere past Kidron, that thou shalt surely die. Don't you remember that? That was 3 years ago. And thou said unto me, the word that I heard is good. You agreed with me. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I charged thee with? And the reason is because if the heart is wicked, you will not keep your promises to the Lord. You will not obey the Lord. There will be something come up. You let a little bitterness, you will not follow the Lord. It will take you over. And so tonight, the lesson of Shimei in chapter 2 is, Look, don't be like Joab and just say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, no matter what, because payday will never come. Abiathar, payday will never come. Adonijah, payday will never come. Shimei, well, I've gotten away with a lot in my life. Payday's never coming. Well, you'll notice in verse number 44, then King said, moreover, to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore, the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy own head. The Lord is the one that returns wickedness if we leave it in our heart. Payday always comes. Could I plead with you tonight? Let the payday be a good one. Always do what's right, so God can bless you. The Lord is looking to be good to you. He's looking to bless your business. He's looking to bless your job. He's looking to bless your grades. He's looking to bless your friends. But we've got to be upright. We can't be a degree off. Tonight, notice if you would very quickly, three in the outline. Be sure to remember that every sin we tolerate will always come back to hurt us. Let's identify our sinful ways, confess them, and correct them for God's glory. That's an upright heart. Finally, Solomon was established or truly considered to be the new king of Israel. And this was God's blessing. Anytime we're established in our jobs, that's the blessing of God. Anytime we have established friends, that's the blessing of God. So tonight, could I just challenge you? Let's put the Lord first. Let's, when He tries our heart, let's make sure we confess the sin, recognize it, get rid of it, and say, Lord, I want to be upright. Let's bow for prayer tonight. I want to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here tonight, the Lord has burdened your heart. Maybe there's something that you just want to get rid of. We're not going to stand to sing. Have your heads bowed and ask the pianist to play. Just get up out of your seat and come to this altar and say, Lord, it's me. I don't want to be like Shimei. I don't want to have any hidden sins. I want to be upright. And maybe tonight you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Would you trust Him tonight? Come to me. I'll help you with it. But leave tonight with a perfect heart. Everybody can do that. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.